Our conversations with the candidates continues here on AM Quincy. This time we welcome to the program Ward 2 City Councilor Richard Ash, who is running unopposed this year for re-election. Great to see you, Richard. Thanks for coming
over. Good to see you too, Joe. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. We invited all the candidates to come on in, regardless of whether they're opposed or not. You are not this year.
I'm not, but still working very hard, of course, and still a good time to be able to recap and I go on in your neighborhood with Mark every few months, and then also good to be on with you.
Yeah.
And a good time to, you know, recap the projects and the work and whatnot. So in any event, opposed or unopposed, certainly happy to be here and always happy to discuss the area and my work.
Great. So I'll ask you then, why are you running for re-election, Richard?
I am running for re-election. Wow, this is a complex question. So quick, so soon into the conversation. I have thoroughly enjoyed my first term. It has been more work in areas than I would have initially thought, and then it seems to balance out in other areas. I still believe that I'm the best representative for my area, for Ward 2, for Quincy Point, for Paxson Park. I think that we've been able to accomplish a good amount of movement on community projects, and I hope that my residents certainly feel like they have someone to reach out to if they have constituent concerns or citywide concerns, and I hope that they feel that I'm being responsive and representative of their interests. I'm certainly trying, I am happy to be able to enter into this election season unopposed. But also don't take that for granted whatsoever. You know, it's tough. You want to encourage people to get involved in local politics and local government, and any sign of involvement or in the city, or people wanting to jump in to whether it's politics or neighborhood associations or advocacy groups, I think is amazing, because it means that person cares about the neighborhood. Not having to necessarily go door to door and campaign right now is nice, because I'm able to use that time to continue to work on the projects that I want to, and come into this new council season in September with some fresh ideas and some good initiatives, and be able to spend my time doing that.
Sure. Do you want to talk about what you see as some of your major accomplishments over the past couple of years?
Sure. My three buzzwords for my campaign were dedication, advocacy. Dedication, advocacy, and communication. Mm-hmm. And I do think that I have tried to define and fill out those words and incorporate them into the first term. And of course, now that I'm rethinking what I just said, I'm not even sure that they're all adjectives, but that's okay. That's all right. We talked about how after I leave these conversations with you, I think of all the things I should have said.
Well, you called them buzzwords, so they're all words.
Oh, okay, so, good. Yeah. I didn't say adjectives. There you go. The first term, the big ticket items, we'll say, we had the Granite Links lease extension, which of course is still out there, mm-hmm. at the State House level now. I did and was able to accomplish a good amount of work and amendments to that lease. I'm happy with kind of my role in the facilitation of the product that was approved by the council versus the product that initially, you know, came in. And certainly that isn't all just because of my effort, but it's having people on both sides of that deal, or having people on both sides of those negotiations that were willing to, move the needle and amend the plans and the project and the document so that the taxpayers were happier with it than initially as proposed.
Okay.
So I was happy with my work on that, certainly not alone, but, you know, with the Quarry Hill Associates folks and with the mayor's office and my work. I know there were some items and amendments made to that I hope that some of the taxpayers and the advocacy groups were happy with. Those are certainly what I intended and tried to help and work on. We also had the HERO tax abatement. Of course, the HERO Act was signed into law by Mara Healey, by the governor, last August, I believe. Mm-hmm. And what the HERO Act does, there's over 200 amendments, and either amendments or new initiatives included in the HERO Act that provide protection or protections or new avenues for veterans to lean on as in the state of Massachusetts. One of those is a residential tax abatement for veterans. What the HERO Act does, it gave municipalities the power or the option to implement the HERO Act, and then if the municipality did want to implement the HERO Act, the municipality then had the option and the decision-making power over at what level. And without getting into all the semantics of that, I was happy to bring the HERO Act to the council, and the city implemented it, unanimous vote at the highest level, providing the highest protection for the residential tax abatements under the HERO Act for veterans. And I know the Director of Veteran Services, Christine Cugini, has done a good amount of outreach so that people know that they may be, the veterans know that they may have more protections than they initially thought. And certainly I know all the counselors and the mayor were happy to support that as well. So that was also a great project to be a part of in the first term. And then, you know, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the raises. So the work and the amendments to the ordinances with respect to the raises going forward, certainly I believe was well received, and I think creates a better roadmap for the elected officials in the city and in future pay increases. You know, we delayed them for a number of years, and you know, that's for a number of different reasons. I spoke at length at the council meeting about the pay increases for the electeds, and I don't want to kind of go back and rehash all of that, you know, but I think it is about putting procedures in place that make the taxpayers feel comfortable in the future. And I think that that's what was accomplished with this last round of the ordinance and my amendments going forward.
Okay. With regards to the tax exemption for veterans, as you know, there's been a proposal for a more widespread residential tax exemption. Is that something you'd look into?
It's definitely something that I think about. I've met with the Municipal Finance Department. And I'm sure you've heard this from a number of the other counselors. It is something that looks good on paper. It doesn't necessarily, at least from what I've been told and the information I've been given, it might not pencil out as well as the residents anticipate or as how we would want it to. But that's not, I think about it constantly. And I'm certainly open to exploring more ways in keeping people in their homes and allowing them to save money on their taxes, certainly as the residents get older and fixed incomes. And it's certainly a 2 a.m. thought when you're staring at the ceiling fan, I guess we'll put it that way.
Are there things that you didn't accomplish during your first 2 years, Richard, that you'd like to work on for the next 2 years?
Well, if I told you that, then you'd know what I wanted to work on for the next 2 years.
That's what I want to know.
I don't know that anything specific comes to mind.
Okay.
You know, I think that in addition to residential taxes, I think that the neighborhood parking in the city is especially I can't even say especially in Quincy Point, because also in Penns Hill, the neighborhood parking has become an issue on a lot of the more dense side streets. You do have a lot of properties, say two bedrooms, but have four cars, and there's not room in the driveway. And I would like to work on something with respect to the parking and at least try to curb it, no pun intended, a little bit in hopes to make everyone's lives easier, because that's the stuff, the day-to-day neighborhood activities, those are really the things that change people's day. if they can back out of their driveway without potentially hitting their neighbor's car, or if they don't need to, say, park two streets away and then walk down the side street potentially when it's dark out. Those are certainly something that I would like to look at more closely.
It brings up a question of developments. It's, you know, it's all across the city as well. How would you kind of describe yourself when it comes to a proposal for a new development in Ward 2?
So I campaigned on the idea of smart development. Right. I think that I've carried that out in my first term. I guess to put it, to simplify it, if you're talking about Quincy Ave or Washington Street or Southern Artery, okay, I have much more leniency. It's some of the new, there's a project that's almost finished now on the corner of Cleverly and Washington. Mm-hmm. That's commercial and residential. I'm sorry, it's Chubbuck and Washington. That's commercial and residential. It looks nice. I don't mind the buildings, the maybe they're bigger scale buildings on the main roads. I think it's a matter of keeping the neighborhoods quiet. Okay. I don't want to see 12 units on a dead end street. And, you know, if you approach that the right way, I've learned that most of the developers in the city, if you work with them, that's something that you can accomplish. You know, we had 10 Independence was a big one at the early 24, which is now under construction. The project, it most of the residents still find it's too tall. I mean, there was a number of concessions that were made. Can't come down, you know, 4 feet, change the facade of the building, putting a build out into the street to at least make it appear, it will be more set back now. And that's all because of the neighborhood participation. So I find being the liaison between all the parties, if you do it the right way, and I hope my residents and my constituents feel like I have, you can really change the project. You know, we had 10 Independence. Right now, 506 South Street is up at the zoning board. I believe it was supposed to be on tonight, but there's not a quorum, so that's
correct. Yeah.
Canceled. Then we also had, you know, 41 Moore Street is an example of a project, two townhouses. It's my direct neighborhood, which is either two family homes or capes. So the resident said, hey, you know, we would love if this looked more like, say, a cape than a kind of a larger, boxy, change the entire look of the project. And there's been a number of other development proposals throughout the year that I think we've been able to thread the needle on and really make some movement, whether it's decreasing in size or decreasing in units or changing the look and the outcome. But I still believe in smart development. You know, I want to see more commercial on Washington Street. I want to bring new buildings down towards the Rotary. That's not a novel idea. It's something that councilors before me, mm-hmm, you know, wanted as well. So the side streets we can try to preserve them a little bit.
So it sounds like reaching out to your constituents, public meetings, things of that nature, and communication is key in your mind.
Communication is absolutely key. Right. I find that folks are, even if they disagree with the news or with the topic, they are appreciative to know about it. And, you know, potentially if they didn't know about it, that it'd be a much different conversation. So folks like to be in the loop, and they deserve that. And that's something that I take a lot of pride on, is making sure that my residents know what's going on in the city, how they can get involved, whether it's an event or a community meeting. You know, even with respect to the budget hearings, I sent out a Google form and, you know, hey, this is the budget. This is how you navigate it online. If you have questions, you know, write back on this Google form. And I had a good amount of responses. And the communication is certainly the name of the game, at least for me.
With regards to the budget, Richard, how do you kind of assess the city's financial condition right now in terms of the way it allocates the budget and the way it spends money and the way it incurs debt? Is that something that concerns you or that you think about or do you like to make some changes with?
I certainly think about it all the time. We, when it comes to the yearly budget, we we look at the increase and what is what the increase is made up of. You know, this year the increase was about $36 million. Two-thirds of that was long-term debt service, was the pension obligation bond, right? And then you have contractual city employees, are they're in a union. There are contractual raises that I think that may have been lost in translation to some folks too, that these are actually raises that are already agreed upon because they are a union. And, you know, we also want to retain these people that have the institutional knowledge and that are working very hard for the city. And so you have that, you have, I think it was a few million for health insurance, yes, like increases. So there, I didn't find that there was a ton to belabor or, you know, hang your hat on. There's a couple, the senior scam positions, mm-hmm, I know were a topic of conversation. Having 1000 Southern Artery in my district, I believe still the biggest senior building in the city, I think it's a great idea. I would love to have a fraud and scam liaison that can go and teach these seniors when to answer the phone and when to not answer the phone and who not to give out your social security number and the latest phishing scams. So that wasn't really something to hammer for me. But then again, I can see how other counselors that maybe don't have a senior population in their district, I couldn't think of one really, but if that's not top of mind, maybe that is an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we all bring to the table, I think, in our different roles respectively. We need to advocate for our constituents. I think it was the new firefighters, which there a fair amount of that is turnover from retirees, and then there was a federal grant to pay for some additional firefighters as well. The capital improvement allocations and whatnot, sure, I think about those, and I think about them critically before support or, I'll continue to do that. But when it comes to the proposed budget, to look at it, at least this year, what the increase was and where it was actually coming from and trying to maintain the city services, that was also important.
How do you think your skills as an attorney, you know, serve you on the city council?
I think I do maintain that it sets me apart a bit, and I believe that that's a strong suit. You know, I early last year, we rewrote the sex offender ordinance in the city. Towards the tail end of this last council season, I put in the ordinance for the public art and placemaking program with the support of the mayor, and we'll hammer out the details of what that looks like once we get back into ordinance session in the fall. But I think that my, at least legal writing and research, certainly helps being up there. And, you know, recently, I think it's an asset, and I hope that my residents and also my colleagues see that as an asset, and it continue. It also parlays into my day job, though. Learning so much about, I say every day as a ward counselor, you learn so much about so much that this same is true. The inverse is also true. You're educated constantly on things that you wouldn't anticipate, and you never know when they're going to pop up again, and you're going to be able to utilize that information.
Yeah. Have you learned things about Ward 2 as a counselor that you weren't familiar with as a resident?
Yes. It's say the a lot of the shipyard history. I mean, you could go on for years and still be uncovering just fascinating stories and history. And even with the Salem, you know, going on, of course, you know, Margaret LaForest is involved with the Salem, and a couple of, actually my constituents work and volunteer there as well. Mm-hmm. So learning a lot about, say, you know, Faxon Park and more about the clubhouse. It's to go back decades, you're never going to know everything. So that is still nice. It is still nice to marry, you know, my family's history, my neighbor's history that potentially goes back in with my family's, and then be able to kind of also represent my generation and my age group and how to move forward in the city, and hopefully respect all of those different thought processes. But yeah, no, that then we've got, you know, I just talked about the clubhouse. The roof is done. Now we get to discuss, you know, thanks to the CDBG, the block grant. We had a nice reception there with the congressman and with the mayor back, this would have been, I believe it was in May, through the planning department, and that was very nice. The programming over there is something that I look forward to discussing, and how to utilize the building and what else goes around. And I would love that for that area to be, say, like it was in the 80s. And, you know, with kids everywhere and programming and excitement, and really revitalize that the huge real estate between the beach and the park, and between Mount Street Beach and Avalon Beach and Faxon Park. The pickleball courts are just about ready. I know I look forward to bringing Mark Crosby from QATV up there to do a tour of that.
Great.
And that's those are the really good projects that I hope that my residents and neighbors will take advantage of.
Yeah. When you mentioned your generation, I'm curious, do you think that Quincy is still a viable place for young people to start their lives?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you know, people are trying to buy in cities and towns everywhere. People would love. I know a lot of people that would love to and try to get into Quincy, and I think that when the time is right, everybody will be able to. And it's supply and demand. It can be looked at as a negative if you can't afford to get in, but I have to choose to look at it as a positive, that you want to get in, that it is harder. And you know, that could be taken a number of different ways, but the market everywhere is tough. I'm no real estate professional, but I look at it as a good sign that people are pining to try to get into the city and raise their families. And you know, we're still in this transitional, you know, maybe after the dust settles on a lot of, you know, the downtown projects and the market evens out, and maybe that becomes a better entry point if folks feel like they can't now. But that is certainly, I look at it as a positive, and I do believe that there is room and time, and certainly the city amenities and services for young families to come in.
Okay. Going forward, Richard, November 4th is when you'll be on the ballot. There's no preliminary for the Ward 2 race this year. What's your campaign strategy?
My campaign strategy is to be grateful that my constituents seemingly feel enough faith in me that I am running unopposed, and to continue to be available. I had office hours last week. I'll do a couple of standouts. It's not that I don't want to go and knock on everyone's door. That was one of the highlights, easily, of my life, was getting to know all of my neighbors in the ward. It's simply, if I am unopposed right now, I would love to spend my time continuing on and pushing, getting these projects done, and starting off the council season on a strong note. So you may not see me at your door. I'll do a couple of standouts. I'll continue to be at every city event that I possibly can, talking to folks, talking to residents, continue to be available via phone, email, all the time, as early or as late as possible. You know, be around on the weekends for my residents. I am looking forward to doing some Sundays in the park with the Ward 2 Civic Association in the fall. Last year we did one Sunday at Faxon, one Sunday at Four River. We'll do that again. Just have to look at some dates and line up some talent with food trucks, music, get people out. And I have to look at the Patriots schedule though before I get any dates on the. I can't Can't mess that one up. But that's really the strategy. So I don't have organized necessarily events. I did a fundraiser in April. I think April and November seem to be good times for me to get folks together. I hate asking for money. It's really just having people in one room that support me and that I try to support as well.
Sure. Do you have a website for your campaign?
RichardAshforQuincy.org.
Okay.
And social media, Instagram, Facebook, Richard Ashford Quincy. And again, reach out anytime. My residents know where to find me, as do you. So certainly, but thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
You too.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.